is going to inform us when we are doing the introduction and to see that the members of the media. I think Salga is here, if I'm not mistaken. Honorable members, let me take the opportunity to welcome you this morning in our very, very important meeting. In fact, we always have a serious business in this portfolio committee. We have never had just a business for the fund PG. We always work very hard with the department. I wish to thank you all for your availability. First of all, I think it is proper for me to apologize for starting late because of the technology. Yes, so I apologize for that on behalf of the committee. As well, I think some of the members received the message that the venue has been changed. Some did not, so I apologize for that, but the message was sent to the secretary. It means the secretary did not inform their principal. But on behalf of the portfolio committee, we'd like to apologize for that. The agenda today, we have got two items on the agenda. We are going to receive a briefing from the Department of Human Settlements in relation to the strategic plan for 2012-2013. This is a very, very important session because it's going to guide the committee when we are doing our oversight. But we should understand that this process, we are not going to end it today. This is the first introduction of the threat plan, and then we are going to invite the department to come with a broader, because this is a national perspective. But you know that we need to also get the provincial business plan, and I think it is important to for the members to note that on Thursday, I think the department is going to concretize their business plans because there's a min-mec on Thursday where the provinces, the MECs will be there. Then everything is going to be consolidated there. And thereafter, the department will come back to us again to unpack what should we expect in terms of performance targets. So we wish to welcome you, DG, on that one. The other one is on the, we need to get a response from the department on the diagnostic report. We'll recall that the National Planning Commission released a report last year, and we did not have the opportunity to interact with the department. And now there's another document that has been released, which is the National Development Plan. So what we have discussed with the DG to say, let's give them the opportunity to consolidate the report on the National Development Plan. So we have agreed that next week they will do that, and then when we come back from the constituency period, we'll have a workshop. Let's take it in a form of workshop so that we consolidate those two reports into one, and then we are able to take that information forward, and then we consolidate into our committee work. So that is the position. Well, it means that today we've got one item. So with your permission, you'll recall that we do have that report for the state-owned enterprises. We need to submit it this afternoon. So we have to look at it as the committee and then adopt it, so that it went through, it has to pass through today. With those few words, I wish to welcome you all, and let's make just a quick introduction so that when we address each one of us, we should know whom are we referring to. Honorable Kosibo.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jabu Kosibo, Chief of the Committee.
Morning, everybody. Mduwa Bandu Chol Machoba, Member of the Committee.
Good morning, all. Gloria Foreman, Member of the Committee.
Morning, my name is Doris Labute, a member of this this committee.
San Monani, New Nokaya Wagamnisi, Ilungalali Committee, Nebo.
Dumela Mbotle, K. Stevens Mukhalapa, Member of the Committee and DA Spokesperson on Housing, Kia Leboch.
I think I have to correct you. There's no DA here. We are a member, we are the members of Parliament. We don't have to, we know that to whom we represent. We are the members of Parliament, but when we get outside, we can identify as who we are. Otherwise, it's not in a bad spirit, you know that. But because once we take it on that spirit, when we discuss issues, we look at somebody as a political, whereas the style that we're adopting, that whatever issue that is raised in this committee, we have to own it up, even if it has come from any other political party. But if we feel that that is very positive, so there's no need that we can say this comes from a DA, this comes from an ANC, this comes from an IFC. It's a portfolio committee position. So with a good spirit, Mr. Mkhalap, I'm not trying to but you can also speak as I accept. We are accepting.
Chair, I do accept what you are saying, but I'm just saying that we are a political committee, so we are definitely, but yes, it's a debate for the whole day. I get your point.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mashishi AC, member of the committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Sanibonani, igama ngokhetha amabala wakwasithola ilunga laleli committee. Ngiyathokoza.
Dumelang, ke mphoga sebone leloko la committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Makosazana Njobe, a member of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Thabane Zulu from the Department of Human Settlements.
This side, you are free to identify yourself. You are free.
You mean politically, Chair?
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Funani Matlatsi, CFO of National Department. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Anton Orenser, and I'm with the DG.
Good morning, members. I'm Yvonne Mbani, Head of Human Resources.
Good morning, members. I am Temba Nobatan, DG's affiliate.
Good morning, Johan Wallace, responsible for delivery support in the department.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Neville Cheney, from the National Department of Human Settlements, working in the office of the DG.
Thank you. I'm Bongani Mkongi. I'm Director for Research in the Office of the Minister of Sport and Recreation. Commission. I'm here to observe about the planning in terms of sport facilities and all those things. Thank you very much.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Luka Nyoluja from Talca. Thank you. Morning, honorable members. Mandla Klava, National Department of Human Settlement.
Well, honorable members, I'm Sula Madima, National Department of Human Settlement.
Morning, I'm Kosi Choma, assisting the committee.
Morning, I'm Tola Galenene from Delivery Magazine.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Thomas, I'm on the secretary of the Cluster Social Transformation.
I'm Sandra, and I'm a... Sandra Mjokwani, and I'm with PMG.
Good morning, I'm Leah Potsoi from the research unit attached to the Committee of Human Settlement.
Good morning,
thank you very much, Titi. You are on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Once more, we would like to appreciate the opportunity that the committee has afforded us to present our overview on the strategic plan for 2012-13 as the Department of Human Settlements. Chair, the most important point maybe for us to reflect on as a matter of introduction on the strat plan that we have put together for 2012-2013 is to once more remind the members that we have gone through a journey of revising our strategic focus as a department, and this has led into some very interesting developments that have taken place. And at some point, Chair, would like also to be given an opportunity to provide a detail of how far have we gone with our revised strategy, which has also included the new structure for the department, which we are currently working on. Chair, suffice to say that with effect from the 1st of April, if we can move to the next slide, Neville, and we are going to be functioning effectively from a new structure, which will take effect from the 1st of April. We have come into that decision after a long process of consultation, of intervention from a strategic point of view. The annual plan that we have looked at has required the assurance that our turnaround strategy is properly embedded into the strategy and the operations of the department, and is also informed and permitted within the treasury regulations. The strategic focus of our department, Chair, will be mainly informed by our strategic objectives and targets as contained in our strat plan and also outcome 8, as well as the estimate of national expenditure. Chair, you will recall, and honorable members, that we have continuously tried to make sure that we integrate our outcome 8 into our strat plan. This is a process that we actually started quite effectively in the current financial year, which is coming to an end at the end of March. In our strat plan for the next financial year, starting from the 1st of April, we'll also ensuring that we continue to integrate our targets, as informed by outcome 8. Again, Chair, this will also be tested in particular when we present to the committee the business plans that the provincial departments will be presenting. This is where you'll be able to actually ascertain exactly how on the ground at a provincial level some of these targets will be dealt with. That will also include the kind of projects that we have identified in those business plans for the next financial year. We also make an assumption, Chair, that the migration to the new structure as a department, we also provide the department with the new engine room that will be effectively ensuring that such expectations on the delivery and performance of our target 8 will indeed be realized through proper outputs and targets, and that is also one of the underlying objective why we had to go through the process of revising our structural arrangements, Chair. Excuse me. The department will use the financial year as a transition, Chair, from the old to the new. The reason why we are saying this, Chair, it's because, as I've already indicated earlier on, thanks, that this particular new plan will mainly be influenced by a new approach that the department is focusing on, particularly to begin to make sure that we usher in a strategic view that is mainly talking to our mandate, talking to the cabinet decision, talking into collaboration with other departments in ensuring that we deliver effectively on our mandate. However, I must emphasize, Chair, that we don't want to use the transitional period as an excuse for us as a department not to ensure that the outputs and targets and outcomes that we have put for ourselves therefore should be deviated for. But this will be a very important aspect in ensuring that we manage this particular phase in a very coherent and efficient manner, taking cognizance of the transitional phase and the period that we're in. Embedded to that as well, Chair, is to also make sure that all the reviews and revisions that the department will continue to do will always be in accordance with the required policy, procedures, consultations, and approvals. So the point that we are trying to make on this one, Chair, is to say the fact that we're in a transitional phase should not create a system of anarchy within the manner in which we continue our business. We'll still make sure that we comply with the necessary processes in ensuring that the approvals of what you are doing is required. This will also include the targets that are actually contained in our delivery agreement that we have entered into with different stakeholders. This is a very important document that we all know, which is guiding us in terms of how to continue delivering on outcome 8. The implementation, Chair, of the revised fleet program is a very important aspect, as you have noticed that even our president in his SONA speech made a very specific reference about the implementation of fleet program. We have revised this. We have come with a different policy guidance on this matter through the MINMEC, and the implementation in dealing with some of the gap market issues will also be taken cognizance of. And once again, whatever changes that we are making at a structural level of a department should not have an impact. This is also supported by the announcement as well made by Minister of Finance about what the human settlements will be trying to do in dealing with the issue of the gap market come the next financial year. Chair, one of the areas as well that we would like to make sure that we pay special attention to is the implementation of the rectification program based on provincial locations. A decision, as you know, was taken by MINMEC to ensure that the management of the rectification program is now centralized at a national level. And we are also expecting that there's going to be effective coordination at a national level. This will also be happening under PMU. As a matter of emphasis, Chair, in the new structure, we have PMU as a very strategic area of focus at a national level, and this particular program would be run under it. So most of our resources as well will be to ensure that our national PMU office is fully resourced to deal with some of the challenges. We have shared through our technical MINMEC structure with all HODs of the provinces agreed that they must also establish a strategic office in their provinces that can be linked into ours. This will assist to standardize our work and also to make sure that we are able to monitor, evaluate, and measure the performance of the business plans and different programs and projects that will be run at human settlements. this is currently in the process of being established fully, and as our structure is implemented as we speak, we will be making sure that we provide sufficient resources in dealing with this particular aspect. Chair, it's important also to indicate that we are going to focus on the accreditation program, which remains a very key area for USDG targets. It was our first year, Chair, in this current year, and we have learned some lessons about implementation. We have also understood better some of the terms of reference that National Treasury has guided us on in the delivery of USDG grants, and also to understand the underlying objective of this grant. In this first year, I think we have done well, but there are quite a number of lessons that we have learned, and our systems are going to be tightened up as we move on. But we have identified that accreditation of other municipalities is very critical in terms of implementation of this grant, and the department is also going to play a very special attention in ensuring that municipalities with the capacity to deliver and also can take advantage of this grant are accordingly accredited so that they can assist the department on its implementation strategy. The improvement on our social and rental housing units is also one area which we have paid special attention to. We all know that this is another very important aspect of delivery in terms of outcome 8, but most importantly, it also deals with the most important market segment in our communities. And SHRA is playing a very important role in ensuring that the targets we have set for ourselves in terms of outcome 8 is enhanced. In this particular area, we will also make sure that we actually go beyond the targets we have set for ourselves. In the beginning of this particular program, we were mainly focusing on very conservative numbers for delivery. We have engaged with the institution that is in charge, and we will be revising our targets with the purpose of increasing them, particularly because in terms of the gap market as well, this is one sector that seems to be a big challenge in terms of human settlements delivery. But most importantly as well, Chair, this is a very sustainable sector in human settlements. So if we put our resources here, there is guaranteed on our return in terms of investments that we make as a human settlement. And we'd like to focus on that. You all know that one of the challenges of our delivery, particularly for RDP and low-cost housing, is the sustainability component that is associated with it. This is one area where our investments can be measured and can be tested, and we can't be found wanting when we want to measure our investments in terms of returns on this particular area. So we're working very closely on this particular one and continue to do so. We have continued, Chair, to identify other related programs and projects that could enhance human settlements delivery in broadening our scope. And we have taken different initiatives, as you know, in terms of the youth build that we have as a standard program in our department, the women's build, and recently we have also introduced each one set one project, which is meant to enhance the private sector to play a very important corporate social responsibility within the human settlements strategy. These are some of the initiatives that we have taken, and we'll continue with them to enhance the quality and extend our capacity of delivering by going with these initiatives and also trying to do resource mobilization in dealing with them, because most of them, they don't form part of our standard budget process. We therefore, Chair, quite excited about the new structure. We also believe that the introduction of the program management unit will improve on our targets, and particularly the monitoring and the quality and the value for money will be attained. This is an issue that has been a thorny issue for us. We have done our analysis. We have shared our analysis with the members, and we're quite excited that during the process of assessing how the department is performing, how it's structured, how its focus is from a strategic point of view, that the PMU unit will be enhanced, and we'll make sure, Chair, will continue to make sure we monitor what we do moving forward. We would like to mention that it's our view that as we continue with the new projects, in particular from human settlements, if we put sufficient resources in the PMU and the provinces that are going to be working with us on these different projects, that there will never be a situation again where we have to rectify the work that we do. We still maintain that it's unfortunate that most of the projects that have been delivered, they have required some form of rectification. So our strategic focus here will be to make sure that we put sufficient resources for our PMU. At national level, we link it with the provincial different offices, as I've made reference to, at provincial levels, and we make sure that we continuously monitor the value for the money that we get. As you hear when the CFO is presenting a part that deals with the financial information, we want to make sure that the amount of money that the sector is getting, which is going to be $24 billion for the next financial year, indeed there is proper value for that money. And anything that is spent from now onwards is properly monitored. But again, Chair, this will be properly clearly defined when we present to you the business plans that I would have signed off with different provinces after the engagement that we are going to have tomorrow when we meet with different HODs and MECs in our MINMEC meeting. Chair, that's a high level, and with your permission, I would like to zoom into specific programs and branches. Please note that, Chair, the programs we have had in the previous year, or rather current, have quite changed due to the revised strategic focus of a department. So there are new programs that will be running, but will provide perspective as to how that process was undertaken. With your permission, Chair, I would request that the Chief of Operations take us through the programs that for our plan for 2012-13 we'll be focusing on within the department at national level. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, DG, Chair, members. Chair, in the strat plan, the structure, I'll go through the structure and the program and strategic objectives or the objectives of each of the program. The vision, mission, and values, I think of importance here is just to ensure that, I think one of the things that what we want to do, and as we've indicated in the turnaround, is to have consistency between all our documents. So you'll see, for example, the mission we speak about to facilitate the creation of sustainable human settlements and an improved quality of household life. That speaks to the delivery agreement. That speaks to what the President speaks to. That speaks to what Minister of Finance speaks to. But more importantly, it also speaks to what Minister Sekhwale, as Minister for Human Settlements, speaks about. So there's that consistency in terms of what we want to achieve. And everything else then cascades into that vision or from that vision. The program and sub-program performance objectives, Chair, members, program one covers the administration, and this is the Office of the Director General as well as corporate services. And particularly you'll see in terms of the program purpose, objective is to provide leadership to the provinces in order to promote and facilitate the provision of adequate human settlements and oversee the provision of corporate services. If you look at this, it's about, continually this committee is asked, quite rightly so, what is our leadership role and what is the leadership role of the DG? And this clearly articulates it. The leadership role to the provinces, because I think it encapsulates that question you've asked. Who takes ultimate accountability? And ultimate accountability is the accounting officer and the executive authority. So we work that into the program, and the objectives and the annual performance plan will cascade into that. The executive support, Chair, in relation to the sub programs, and this represents the sub programs, it's the executive support to the Director General. And it covers, particularly, you will see, not only the administrative, but also some of the high-level program and political priorities. And that's under bullet point 2, which speaks about the realization of outcome 8 objectives. And outcome 8 objectives has an important bearing on all the work, and rightly should be, because it comes from the Office of the President. Internal audit, risk management, and special investigations, this sits under the program one, because in the organogram and structure, it reports directly to the DG, and it covers particularly the issue around special investigations, internal audit, and your risk management. Corporate support, Chair, this covers, you know, basically what the administrative and internal focus processes are, and it's about the good governance, the good organizational structure, security management facilities, registry, records, library, and information services. Human resources management, those are the objectives, and it covers the four key ones there, particularly around, and you'll see, Chair, what has happened out of the strategic plan is you've got organizational transformation. Previously, organizational transformation didn't sit with the and there was no rational reason, so now it forms part of that. Information management and information technology services, this committee will remember that you had information management sitting under corporate services and what was then the strategic relations. It's been consolidated because it makes sense. It doesn't make sense that your information management and your ITS services sit differently. And it's about providing the information technology infrastructure and business application and system support. Communication services, you'll remember, Chair, this is also not under or falling directly within corporate services. It was a structure that didn't make sense, but now it makes sense because you've got communication services, and that communication services includes now, Chair members, marketing, because one of the concerns politically has been, what does government do to market? And the point was, does government have to market itself? Well, ordinarily, if you had consensus that government didn't have to, but given our current constraints around whether or not the programs of government does go, we have to market. It's about that. Legal services, again, a key component falling under corporate services and program one. Okay, then we come to program two in terms of the structure. What we need to understand is that in the previous structure, as we presented to you in December, we had five programs. We've got now six programs, and part of that includes a restructuring of program two, three, and four. Program two speaks about the human settlements delivery frameworks, and it's about the delivery frameworks and advisory services. And it's about responding to the issues that the national department should be, particularly in relation to delivery. So it's the focus in terms of the framework. If we get the framework proper, and if we manage that delivery framework at the national, everything else falls into place. Under this program, we've got three. There's the operational frameworks, and again, you'll see it's terminology that comes into, which we've explained previously, but it's about getting the operations right. And if we don't get the operations right, which we want to do, and which this strategic plan does, everything else is irrespective. If we don't have an operational, so there's it, you know, which we speak about, one of the objectives is to get the proper macro policy framework, the policy development framework, and as well as the accreditation policy framework. And if we get that right and everyone knows what we're doing in relation to operations, we'll do that. And I think we're obviously of the opinion that this does that. The governance framework, we know that within the sector, there's been sectoral transformation inertia. So this comes to the fore again in terms of what that is. Before, it was sectoral transformation was basically something that was out there. But I think we know that if you don't have sector transformation, even 17 years after post-democracy, if you don't have sectoral transformation, Government may have transformed, but has the sector transformed in relation to what it wants to? So that's it. Then to provide the research services, and you'll see it's covered under there, but one of the issues is that we'll consolidate the research capacity, but have it devolved and coordinated. The operational compliance policy frameworks, and I think you'll see there's regulatory compliance and there's operational compliance. The operational compliance is for people to understand exactly what their operational compliance, because that's been the one big issue. So it's between the AG, the department, the provinces, the municipalities, as well as the implementing agents, and that value chain of compliance within operations has always been missing. Advisory services, that's quality assurance, parliamentary management, and then also project integration. How do we achieve that? Human settlements planning and strategy and planning. Here you'll know that one of the points about the department, or one of the key weaknesses, has been the inability for us to be at a strategic level, give direction. So for once, we now have a chief director that is specifically focused on a program that focuses on strategy and planning, and that covers three sub programs: stakeholder and intergovernmental relations. You'll remember that stakeholder management was something separate, and intergovernmental relations was separate in the previous structure. It's now consolidated. It makes more sense. It speaks about stakeholder mobilization. It speaks about international relations, and more importantly, from a developmental aspect, is for the people's housing process and community-driven housing initiatives. There's a clear linkage to that, because it's been one of the weak spots around us developing community energy and initiatives. Human settlements planning. It's a given that we'll have to, as a department, ensure that our macro planning speaks about it, but it also speaks about the implementation framework as well as the delivery channel through that planning. Human settlement strategy, it's about the spatial planning, which this committee, and on various occasions, it says, what are we doing about changing the spatial framework? And that comes through the national planning development. It comes through what the presidency said. So here we're clearly articulating a intervention or process that this department will go through. But it's also, more importantly, Chair, the linkage between this department and its work and the spatial the spatial land use management, because we have a role to play and we will have to play a role. The Human Settlements Master Plan. It's never been there, and it's something that we need to correct. And then the Strategic Management Services around Human Settlements. Program 4, which is the dedicated program and project management unit, and that's to oversee, and particularly, Chair, I mean, we must emphasize that, yes, terminology might not be, but it's important. We're speaking about execution. You've always asked, so what does the department do in relation to ensuring proper execution? So here's it. It's this key response. I mean, it's part of it, but it covers a whole lot of things. But the key focus here is the ability of the department to oversee, but also to execute. In this program, there's four programs and it's sub programs. Conceptualization and planning of human settlement strategic programs and focuses. So when we have to be able to do that, it's the delivery agreements, it's project resources, it's risk management associated with program and project management in relation to execution. Program implementation facilitation, and that's we've indicated, Chair, informal settlement upgrading, as well as your project delivery management systems and reporting, as well as your implementation support. Monitoring and evaluation, it's about the monitoring and evaluation services to pro, program and project management, research and evaluation, and one of the key issues which you'll know that we raised as a challenge in the annual report, which now finds its resolution in the department, is data management, verification, and analysis. So there will be no excuses for inability to provide proper data, which is verified and able to be analyzed. The sanitation program, based on its national priority, its focuses goes on implementation, but also particularly the strategic support, the administration and coordination, and the sanitation. And those issues have been very weak. And now it gets strengthened because there was this, you know, not incorrectly, but correctly so, there was an obsession with the execution, but the administration and the coordination, particularly at the provincial and municipal level, was lacking. Program 5, the Office of the Chief Financial Officer. Chair, there's 2 points here, and there's two sub-programs, and this is the Chief Investment Officer, and that's to cover the entire spectrum. Investment, because as government we're making an investment in society, so I think it clearly articulates what we want to achieve, the outputs and targets that will come out of the annual performance plan. The financial management, and that's key here, is the supply chain. The Office of the Chief of Operations, provision of human settlements operational services. This is about the architecture, establishment, and enablement, both internally and externally. So what is the bridge between what the department does internally in terms of operations and externally in terms of operations? And that's about the enterprise monitoring and control functions. Key to ensuring that how, you know, does the three or four other programs do their work, and how does that work? The technical capacity of importance here is, in terms of operations, you'll see that we speak for the provision of the facilitation of the professionalization of the sector. So how do we respond to that? Basically, you know, what are the shortcomings between strategy and operations, projects to professionalize the human settlements industry, because I think this is about the long term. It's not only about the short term. Regulatory compliance, that's entity oversight, legislative and compliance monitoring, and this is a key relationship issue between the department, the minister, and yourselves, because it's about ensuring that the department complies with what Parliament says we should be doing. And it's key because it's been one of those issues, and I think as a department, hopefully we're able to respond, because that has been a difficulty, and it's a criticism that you said, do you take us seriously? Well, we can't take you more seriously than what we've done under this. And it's there as a sub program. So in our annual performance plan with the DGs to sign off, that will happen. The strategic outcomes, as we've said, Chair, when you get you'll see that the strat plan that we table is more focused. It speaks about the internal, but it's also focused on what this department needs to do as part of government externally. And you'll see we've covered the strategic outcomes, and those strategic outcomes are directly what the President has spoken and asks us to do, or has asked the Minister through the department to undertake. Accelerated delivery of housing opportunities, improve access to basic services, improve property market, and more efficient land utilization. The human settlements priorities, in terms of the numbers, that's what we have to achieve. And it's key to say that when we sign off this term of office, May 2014, we need to be able to say this is what we've achieved. It might not be everything we want to be able to, but this is the minimum that we want to sign off, both as this committee and minister to your president. The indicators and targets, Chair, we've listed what the key targets are, and we said the strat plan must speak to the estimates of national expenditure. The estimates of national expenditure must speak to the business plans that we will present to you in April. The business plans must speak to the provincial plans. The provincial plans must then speak to what the delivery agreement is. So what we will do is that when we come back to you, we'll give you the number of social and rental housing units to be provided per province, which must be equal to those numbers. Those numbers then must equal what has been signed in terms of the delivery agreement. So the detail of this here, you will have to hold us accountable when we present those delivery plans. And I think what we're saying is we're quite excited about that approach, particularly because the DG has said if they don't talk to these targets, he will not sign them off. If they don't do that, you don't sign it. The minister doesn't sign it off. But these are the programs. So it's the number of social and rental municipalities provided for technical assistance in informal settlements, houses, units completed, site service per year, households upgraded in informal settlements, number of municipalities assessed for accreditation level 2, hectares of land, finance opportunities, and that's in terms of FLISP, so we'll break that down. And then it's also the municipalities for post and pre-accreditation. Thanks, Chair. DG.
Thank you, Chair. We will now deal with the financial part of our presentation, and I will humbly request that our Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Fanani Matlatsi, take the committee through the financial information on our strat plan for 2012-13.
Thank you very much, Dr. General, Chairperson, and members. Let me take members forward in terms of the budget that will actually fund the operation, the objectives as set out by the Director General and as well as the COO in terms of the presentation that has actually been laid to members as we speak. Chair, you will remember that the two gentlemen indicated the change in names and the movement of program from Program 5 to Program 6. But I must indicate that currently, because of the fact that we still have to undergo the process of the budget structure change, we still present the 5 programs. However, the emphasis is placed on the fact that the commitment of the 25.2 billion as laid there also funds the program and project management unit as the new program in the program structure and in terms of the budget structure. However, moving forward, we are in the process of finalizing the budget structure that will align the structure and strategy of the department, the E&E, as indicated, as well as the budget structure, just so that when the audit comes, we talk in terms of the one SMART principles as laid down in the structure and strategy. Now, if one looks at the 5 programs as they are, given the fact that the budget of 25 is actually allocated for 2012-13 financially, and tremendous increase of plus minus 9% from the 22.8 billion that we had in the 2011-12 financial year ending March, this financial year, to 30.1 billion in the outer year of 2014-15. Members will realize that the budget actually increases on the fact that we have 2 grants in our allocation, and those are the main cost drivers currently under the program 4, which is actually named Housing Development Finance in the current structure. But if I take members through in terms of the administration by budget moving forward, before that, never, we still sit with administration as indicated in the slides there, which is program 1, at the tune of 243 million.
and then in the outer year it has increased to 261, and that funds the activities and objectives that are launched by the COO in terms of the structure moving forward. That will also remain the same, Chairperson, as we move forward. Now, Program 2, as we move forward, Chairperson, and currently it still stays in housing policy research and monitoring, but if we move forward, Chairperson, we have our housing delivery framework that will be funded under Program 2 moving forward, then the budget will actually change, and then the structure will change, the budget structure will change. The current scenario still reflects housing policy research and monitoring. So Program 5, Chairperson, which is Strategic Relations and Governance, is 157,944, and the outer is 167. As I indicated, Chairperson, that our cost drivers are actually under housing development finance, which is our human settlement development grant, the urban settlement development grant, and our transfers to institutions. Chair, the Director General and the CEO indicated that the human settlement development grant business plan is in process and it will be tabled to MINMEP, and then we will be pleased to come back to the committee to indicate the specifics, and as indicated by the COO, to say that the target as outlined in the ENE should actually and particularly match the business plan, and if not the case, then we will have to come out and change the scenarios of the business plan. However, it should tally with what the ENE is saying, because we have to report as this is a public document. And that will be funded, Chairperson, by the Human Settlement Development Grant of 15.7 billion in this financial year. Chair, you will also remember that we had a 14.9 billion from the previous financial year. So it's a slight increase. It did not increase much. But I must indicate, Chairperson, because when we table the business plan of the provincial department, members would, by that time, want to know why it's a split of another 293 million that will fund the disaster. In this financial year, we do not have a disaster grant separate from the human settlement. It is embedded within the human settlement development as an item. However, when we are going to outline the business plan, it will be separately indicated within the business plan. So we do have a 294 million for housing, the disaster relief fund, and that will be actually tabled as we table the business plan. And the increase obviously goes further to 17.8 billion in 2014-15. The urban settlement development grant, Chairperson, you'll also realize that we transfer it to our municipalities. Now that also gets transferred upon the signing off of the built environment plan, as will be tabled as well to the parliament and to the members as well. So we will ensure that also talks to the human settlement development plan. Versus the situation and the scenario that we had, particularly in this financial year, given the fact that it was the first grant of its kind for us to deal with. So we will ensure that in the financial year moving forward of our metros as our municipalities, it gets aligned to the Human Settlement Development Grant. So we will be talking one language in terms of the USDG as well as the Human Settlement Development Grant. And our performance monitoring will also be tabled as well to the members to say what has the Urban Settlement Development Grant bought that actually talks to what the Human Settlement Development Grant has actually bought for us. I've spoken about the housing institutions as also the cost drivers in the national. We have our Rural Housing Loan Fund that gets transferred to RALF institution to the tune of 51.9 million in this financial year, and we do not have funding for the next year. The reason why we have the funding for the financial year, this started 3 years ago, and this actually was tend to be the last transfer for RALF in this financial year as a capitalization to the RALF. So we do not actually give them any operational cost. However, if we move to the Housing Development Agency, which is our HDA, they only receive the operational budget from our fiscus, and that actually gets funded over MTF as we move forward. The NATURE is also receiving 100 million that started in a previous financial year. We are to fund NATURE in the next two financial years to come to the tune of 200 million split in 100 and 100 in the 2 years. And then we do not have an allocation. However, Chair, as we move within the fact that we do not have funding, that does not mean that we will not fund. We will solicit funding from National Treasury, as depending on the circumstances of the two institutions.
And given the fact that, Chair, you will realize that the amalgamation of the two and NHFC will actually come into one. So the scenario may change in the near future. For now, we still talk the fact that we still have allocation in the next years to come. Then we have our operational budget for Social Housing Regulator Authority at the tune of 21, moving forward to 23. And that is actually coupled by the capital restructuring grant that also funds the rental and social housing, based on the fact that it is also under the social housing regulator formed into one. But the difference of the fact that it's actually split into operations and the capital budget. Then we have our Bazaar scheme, because it's also a transfer to another institution, and our commitment to, my apologies to you, and Habitat of a 1 billion each and every year. Whether that money gets spent, Chairperson, it's something else, but we redirect it when it does not get spent. But the fact that we do have a commitment with our UN Habitat, we have to fund it. So, Chair, these are our transfers, as indicated, the fact that they are mostly under Program 4. However, the budget, the bazaar one, it's mainly under the human resource element of the department that is within the Program 1. Now, this is a split of a high-level nature of the business plan, which actually funds the provinces in terms of human settlement development grant. The lowest, as we also speak, I think it's very clear that we still have Northern Cape still receiving 339,551. Chair, I did indicate that within these allocations, there is a specific earmark fund for disaster. So that will actually form part of the human settlement development grant, but separately reported, because we would want to know where the disaster has been spent, particularly on the disaster area. It should not be mixed with the housing grant. However, the item is itemized as one. And then we have housing receiving the highest slice of the cake at the 4 billion. Then we have our KZN at 2.9. Then our Western Cape receiving a 1.7 from the Eastern Cape receiving 2.2. So this is the scenario of our human settlement development grant in terms of our provinces, as they are nine, at the tune of 15.7 billion. Now the increase is going to 16.9 in 2013-14. There is a speak of a growth, but it is not much. It is slightly checked because of the fact that members would realize that from the previous financial year, we had sort of a top slice because of the USDG. So portion of this grant had actually undergone and funded our USDG. So the 17.8 will be in the 2014-15 outer year, and the highest again, we still have Gauteng receiving a 4.6 billion, followed by KZN. The next slide, it's the Urban Settlement Development Grant allocation. We're still having the eight municipalities from six provinces, Eastern Cape with two metros, Nelson Mandela, Buffalo City, totaling 1 billion in year one, which is 12 and 13, and then we have a 1.5, an increase, Chair, or the most of plus minus 4% to from 1.3 to 1.5 in the outer year of 2014-15. We're having Mangaung receiving 485 in year one, 693 in year two. Now Gauteng is sitting with three big metros at the tune of 3.5 billion, the highest being the Johannesburg Metro, followed by Ekurhuleni and Tshwane as well. Now, if we look at the increase between 3.5 and 5.07 million in year 50, we would be expecting that some of the bulk infrastructure issues, land issues, will actually be covered within that, as the USDG actually conditions ourselves to focus on. Now we have KZN with the Termini Metro receiving 1.2 and then 1.8 in the outer year, and lastly our city of Cape Town from Western Cape receiving an amount of 971,982,000 in year one. The total share of the grant moves from 7.3 billion to 10.5 in year three. And I think if we look at the above two grants, including the disaster check, this is where we say the money does not actually get transferred for the sake of being transferred. The department is committed in following that money. Our oversight visits are very, very clear, and we have been outlined in to the committee as well,
and we will ensure that what we see is what we get at the end of the period, and we commit ourselves to come back to the committee to say what we indicated in our business plan is actually what is actually in our monitoring report as well. So the chair, if I may hand over, protocol-wise, to my director general for taking care of the risks and challenges. Thank you very much.
Chair, all said and done, we remain with risks, and it's very important that we highlight some of them. But Chair, we are very much excited with the strategic movement that we are seeing in our department. We hope that at the provincial and local level, particularly because we are now working very closely with the spheres of government, and that's very important. Our strategy calls for that. If we mean business about delivery on human settlements, we are not going to just dispersing monies and just don't do something to make sure they do what they're meant to. I've been made to be a super accounting officer, in the sense that I will also be following where the money goes, which is something that is quite difficult under current legislated arrangement. But Chair, the mandate that we have, and it does require a very direct involvement in ensuring that there is sufficient capacity for the government's fiscals to be spent appropriately, strategically. So, Chair, the capacity, therefore, it's a very important aspect, and we'll continue to assist at all spheres of government to make sure capacity does exist, starting with our national office, so that we can be able to monitor, evaluate effectively the business plans that we presented to you. That will mean that the systems and the planning aspect that we have spoken about at the PMU level should be enhanced in ensuring that there is effective collaboration with the spheres of government, and continuously provide the bulk infrastructure, which is a key strategic area for service delivery for human settlements. And we're quite grateful that USDG has been introduced and will be entering into the second year of its introduction, and that will assist in unlocking some of the very big potential projects for human settlements. And some of them, as you know, have been approved by the Cabinet, and we are pushing resources on them, including Konubia, Lufereng, the Palale, and so forth. We are making sure that we provide the sufficient bulk infrastructure. But over and above that, as you know, there are some other human settlements projects that require unlocking. That will require to make sure that we provide capacity and resources and guidance to make sure that the various implementation agents take cognizance of providing the infrastructure in ensuring that we unlock those projects. But also, Chair, we are also mindful of sustainability. Sustainability for human settlements would require us also to shift our focus to the socio-economic amenities in ensuring that where we put human settlements, there are also other opportunities that get created, particularly economic opportunities, which may also result in creating jobs, so that whatever we deliver on the ground can also be sustained by the beneficiaries themselves. It's very difficult at this point in time that most of the people who have benefited from our government subsidies cannot sustain the delivery that we have made. It's because there's been a lack of doing proper economic analysis in areas where we put our investment as government and ensure that the citizens of the country who are benefiting from this can sustain those projects and make sure that they appreciate the investment that government has done. There is obviously a shortage in terms of bulk infrastructure, Chair, as I've indicated, and we'll take it upon ourselves to make sure that we continue to deal with this particular area effectively. And we are quite happy that also the shift of government to focus on infrastructure does provide us with a platform to even do this much more aggressively than we have done it before. Chair, the other challenges I've indicated earlier on is to continuously make sure that we align our programs to outcome aid as per the Cabinet decision. This has been a challenge. We have started with it in this year, or rather the last year. As we move to 2012-13, we'll continuously make sure that we begin to align this, so that when we do our quarterly reviews and our minister is also performance managed, so as myself with the president, we are not found wanting simply because we have failed to align our targets in terms of outcome aid. So these are some of the challenges, but they're manageable, Chair. I must say that, Chair, as a department under the leadership of our minister and yourselves, we are very much excited about this movement. it provides us with a platform that clearly defines our strategic direction as a department and will make sure that we don't let down this new mandate and the support that we have received and the guidance and leadership that we have provided to this department. We present this plan to you, Chair. It's a high level. We'll come back to you with a very concrete business plan that provinces would have developed based on the allocations they have received and based on the guidance that the department at national level would have provided to make sure that it's coherent and it talks to our mandate quite effectively. We thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. It's a really high level presentation. Members, there's the opportunity. Let me start at the back.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, first of all, I have 8 questions. I don't know. Must I ask all those questions? Really? No, Chairperson, first of all, I have a concern, Chair, because there was nothing that has been the budget that cater for on unblocked projects. I don't know. I didn't see it. And the other one is that one, the issue of hostels. There was nothing that has been said on this budget because it is very crucial because most of them are in a bad conditions. I think the human being cannot stay where those people are staying. Really is a concern, Chair. And the other one, Chair, is that one on slide number 8. But I don't know you are going to see it because it's dark. Where they are talking about the implementation of the management of the ratification program by the department based provincial allocations. Chairperson, this ratification has been said for a long time now. What I want to find out, how many projects have been completed or houses that have been completed from these ratifications? And the other one, Chair, is that one of on slide number 23. Slide number 23, Chair, to oversee integrated human settlement strategy and planning services. They are talking about that they give directions to that programs. What I want to find out, Chair, the director that is attached to that program, is any director that is attached to that program was just a directive that have got no director? I think, Chair, other one they will ask because I have a lot of questions. I can give to others. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson, and once again, thank you to the department for the presentation. Actually, I don't have very bad questions to say. So, please, you can relax. I must say, Chairperson, my comment first. I think we appreciate the promise for a concerted coordination and alignment of plans. I think we appreciate that very much. This is what we've been looking for all the time. And hopefully we can really avoid some of the ways that we have seen in the previous years. Of course, it is not only the human settlement Department of Human Settlement that has this program right from the beginning. I think there was this excitement, you know, by the various departments, by the various provinces, all the different layers, each one, each man being on himself and the devil behind all of us. But now if the National Department of Housing is willing to take the lead as we have been promised in this presentation,
I'm sure we will move smoothly. Secondly, also the fact that the department is actually acknowledging the fact that it is necessary for the national department to take the lead. This is also what we've been waiting for, because after all, transfers and all those other grants come and they have been planned for at the level of the at national level, although there may have been MINDEX and so on and so forth, but ultimately it comes from here, and therefore it is important for the department to ensure that these funds are used and used properly. So we appreciate that. I'm not quite sure if I understand very well what you actually mean by professionalizing the enterprise architecture. I think at first when I looked at this slide, I just thought, you know, professionalizing the sector. But now I think it is speaking of the enterprise architecture. Can you just please explain a little bit more what it really involves? Because one would also be interested as to whether the department, you've got, for instance, the bursary here, whether the department really follows, you know, how and where and what the results of, you know, this bursary are. Are we sure, for instance, that the bursary is being used? Is it benefiting it's benefiting South Africans individually, but also benefiting the department as a whole? And lastly, Chairperson, I wonder whether the department ever looked at the migration patterns. I'm now basing myself on the allocation, particularly to the provinces. Whether you also consider the migration patterns. Let me give the examples of Cape Town and Joburg, you see, because Cape Town, for instance, does receive quite a lot of people from the southern part of the Eastern Cape and so on and so forth, while I know from my province, while the northern part of the Eastern Cape will move towards Johannesburg. I'm looking at the amount, you know, of the transfers to the various provinces, and I'm sure you are considering the fact that, oh yes, so let me say I'm sure. I'm not sure. Yes, I asked another question which is based on this one as to what really determines the amount of the grant. I think that is on slide 43. If you could combine it to this concern about the migration pattern. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Let me also appreciate the presentation from DG and his colleagues. I think it was quite a very good high-level presentation. I'm just going to make comments and ask questions just to make it low-level. I appreciate the fact that we're still gonna receive some briefing in as far as that is concerned, but maybe it will help to unpack so that when they come with a low-level report, then some of these concerns are taken on board. The first one is the issue of the challenges in the implementation of the USDG currently. I would presume that there are challenges in implementing that USDG since it's being a new fund. What are those challenges and how are you planning to address them in the next financial year? The second one is the issue of the accreditation capacity. Because of all these plans, are nice and gloomy, but if the municipalities don't have the capacity for accreditation, they would not be able to. We will be still sitting here next year and asking the same questions: why have we not spent some of these funds that are allocated because of lack of capacity? What is happening there in terms of capacity, and how can we move to assist in addressing the capacity issue of municipalities? I appreciate the fact that alignment will be happening. I have to agree with Honorable Mamjove there. If the new structure will help you to align better your intergovernmental relations, then we welcome it. And the improvement of your monitoring and oversight over the entities. We would appreciate a progress report in the each one, settle one. campaign. I've seen you've been saying that the minister will have to provide a quarterly report, but that one we will deal with him later this afternoon. We've got a question session with him on this one. But just to give you that, you'll be aware of it. The program management unit, I welcome it because you are saying then we will no longer talk about rectification if this unit does its jobs better. We welcome it, and we hope that next year when you come back, you would not mention the name rectification again, because you've got a better unit that will manage this thing. Chair, we would also just to have a briefing on the progress on special investigations. It's always been put in, and we don't have how far, without going into the details of those cases that might be sub judice, but just to have a briefing on, are we moving in as far as special investigations is concerned? The sanitation backlog. I see you haven't made the provision for the rural household infrastructure grant. And it works to the issue of your bulk infrastructure and the sanitation backlog. And I would want to ask you that in the previous year, with your quarterly report, I know it's not relevant to here, but I just want to filter it in, if you can allow me, Chair. You have spent 20% of your of the allocated amount of the rural household infrastructure grant. Now, I would put it to you that if we spend much of that 257 million, of which I'm not sure what you've budgeted for the next financial year, wouldn't it assist us in unlocking some of these backlogs of bulk infrastructure? And why is that money not being spent? Is it the capacity of province, or is it some remote rural areas with district municipalities that are dysfunctional? The issue of your technical capacity and the regulatory compliance service unit, I welcome it because of you are strengthening the department. Now, what will be then the role of the NHBRC if you've got this very, very well-crafted internal unit in your department? Why would we still need NHBRC if you've got regulatory compliance service and the technical capacity? Because in my mind, is if you strengthen it better to function, then it can do the mandate of the NHBRC. Because frankly, we will not be talking rectification if NHBRC was doing its job, and surely it's not doing its job. Now, these two entities or units that you are introducing in the department, wouldn't it assist you in strengthening your capacity to deal with the issue of rectification, hence nullifying the role of the NHBRC? And I also would like to welcome the measure of the three entities, RALF, NACHA, and NHFC. I think it will assist us in moving forward. The CFO, can you just give us the criteria for allocation of the USDG? What do you take into context to allocate each province the way you've allocated it? Thanks very much for your indulgence, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. Firstly, I'd also want to appreciate this strategic plan presentation by the department. You can see now, Chairperson, that we are really moving forward, and fast for that matter. Thanks, DG and your team. In fact, I was better if you implement the strategic plan accordingly, as we have already alluded. Chairperson, I'm also grateful to hear that the department will be providing leadership to provinces, because some of these provinces seems not to know what exactly they have to do. So I really appreciate that. Then I've got only one question. In terms of those accredited municipalities, what is it that the department will do if that municipality is not performing? So if I can get clarity on that one. Then the other issues were touched by my colleagues, like the issue of rectification and all that. Then I'll couple that with the budget allocation to provinces, like our province, never, you know, we're hit by this disaster, especially in the local municipality, the poor local municipalities. So most of the houses were destroyed, some have cracked. That will need, the department will need more budget to rectify houses, and also in terms of a disaster, they have to build houses. There are still backlog of houses that were destroyed by disaster in May. They are still not built, some of them. Only few are built. Then I'm a little bit worried about this, the budget allocation to Mpumalanga and KZN, because those are the provinces that were hit most by the disaster. So also, I would like also to ask about Northern Cape. Why is Northern Cape? Yes, you explained that, but I'm a little bit worried that why is the budget so low? I just want to understand that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think having sat here since 2009 and where we are at today, the struggles that we've had together, and I think that's what's so beautiful about this, that we've worked through this together, and I know we've been frustrated with each other, but this is truly exciting to have this strat plan today. And it is an overarching national thing, so I'm not going to nitpick about the little stuff. And I think that what I want to pick up on is just a couple of there's so much good here, so much good here. And I want to say that, you know, your comment, DG, in the beginning that, and I mean, obviously we're going to be watching that. Transitional phase will not be used as an excuse not to be achieving. Gee, we're going to be watching that. We just don't want to hear any more about turnaround strategies and an excuse of not having
this. You make me regret why I made that.
Hey, so, you know, I mean, we could be on a high today. And so I think that's tremendous. But can I just ask, and I mean, we're going to see that, you know, in your other plans, but I want to have the assurance that you've said that by the end of this financial year, all your vacancies are going to be filled. Because for me, at the source, that is the problem. You know, if you don't have the right people and those vacancies are not filled. So that's just the one thing. Then I just want to understand I think it's a good idea, the centralizing of the rectification program. When you talk about the provinces, their allocations, is that going to be ring-fenced money to rectify? I just want to understand that. And then I want to pick up on the program management unit, the PMU. You know, there's masses of work all in the pipeline already. You know, it's easy when you put something into operation, you start something new, and you're starting from greenfield, if you like, you know. You're starting up something. But there's a whole lot of bits and pieces and stuff, projects, all in the pipeline. Do you have your finger on the pulse of all of that to be able to take it forward now in your new PMU? Business plans with the provinces, just one other thing. With business plans with the provinces, I take it from what I've heard here today that there's been an interaction between national, the provinces, and I would imagine even at metro level when it comes to your bigger municipalities. And I think that's absolutely tremendous. And when we start to fill in the gaps here, when you come with your detail, I think that's going to be where our role really kicks in the monitoring. So I think that is great. I mean, look, I'm waffling on. I can't even find anything to fall on. I'm saying that yeah, we've really got something. There was just one question I wanted to ask. I didn't understand why we took a dip in the year 20. I had it here and then I missed it, but perhaps I can leave it. It might have been, but we were taking a dip in one of the financial years. You know, coming down and then going back up again. But I'll find it and come in perhaps in the next round. But congratulations, DG, to you and your team. It's great. We look forward to the next report.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to first and foremost to say that looking at this strategic plan, it's on a very high level. Well, I don't know whether it's on the high level here on paper, what will we see on the ground? We hope we won't be disappointed at all. Many questions have been asked, especially by this person. Any questions that I was going to ask, but anyway, I'm left with about one or two. Where I would like, I was going to ask you even about this program of each one, circle one. He has already raised that one. And I would like to know with the transfers, there is that 51 to be transferred, 51 plus. This is the last year. And what will, next year there will be nothing transferred to RAF, and that's what will happen to RAF. Will it be scrapped and done with it, or what will happen? What is another question? And also with the disaster, then I'm covered by Honorable Lagude. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I would also like to join my colleagues in welcoming the presentation. I should state that we will await for your clean and clear business plan. Chair, I will also like to welcome the PMU, because what really matters to us as members is the value for money. I hope this will also assist us in this new coming project. We hope that all the projects will be properly monitored and properly managed. Chairperson, I need a clarity in the special and designated group and sector focus program, especially the women's build. I think we need a clear plan on how are you going to roll out these programs to all the provinces equally, because I've only seen these women-built programs at Free State only. Hopefully, it's still coming also to Mpumalanga. Thank you very much.
I forgot one question. Yeah. I've forgotten the question of the bursary. It's 4 billion. Is it 4 million? Okay. What happened to this money? If, let's say, a person fails, does that person pay back the money? Or you continue giving the person money? And
DJ and your team.
Thank you very much, members, Chair, for the comments made. I will just deal with some of the high-level issues, particularly in relation to rectification, which I think most members make specific reference to. Chair, we have taken a decision, and again, it was through the guidance of the committee and after serious engagement and having done our own assessment that ratification should be centralized. And we took a very bold step to establish a PMU, and that program would be run under PMU. The provincial allocations we are making reference to, and Chair, this was a very interesting process that the provinces themselves have agreed at technical MINMEC level, as well as at MINMEC level, that this should be done at national level. They further agreed, Chair, that we'll take part of their budget to manage this program. So the seed funding that we're relating to, which is 10% of their provincial, would be ring-fenced for this program. This was a major breakthrough after serious engagement that we took with the HODs and also with the MECs of all provinces. So we will be doing that. Now the challenge is the implementation. As you all know, Chair, that at the core of our challenge, it's not just policy decisions, but it's the implementation. That is why our focus is saying if the PMU, with all its elements and components, can function to the optimal level, it will resolve quite a number of our challenges countrywide on human settlements. This program will be run under PMU as well. The seed funding will be coming from the HSDG grant, which provinces have agreed that to take 10% of their budget. That's how it's going to be managed, Chair. The PMU unit is conceptualizing the program, is putting a plan. We don't want to adopt a bing-bang approach, but we want to make sure that we move from one phase to another and reduce this. But embedded into our strategy, as I've said, is to make sure that no new project will go without enrollment with the institution that is tasked with this. One member has made a point about NHBRC. What we have found in our assessments that some of the projects were never enrolled with NHBRC, so is NHBRC to do its work effectively. That's one challenge we have had. We want to move away from that. Any new project must be, it's a matter of must. We have taken a decision at a technical level. But we have also moved a step further, also to ensure that NHBRC does also have sufficient capacity to undertake its own responsibility in terms of ensuring that it's done, inspections are done, reports are submitted to provinces. So we are also focusing. NHBRC chair and members will be presenting to the MINTOP executive, which Minister chairs, their strategy of enhancing their capacity to be able to do this. It's a strategy of ensuring we don't find ourselves again in a similar situation. So we're putting those measures in place moving forward, Chair. So that's how we intend to try and minimize our challenges on the rectification side. The issue of unblocked projects and hostels, Babu Jobe, I think this will be coming quite clearly on business plans. Various provinces have taken various initiatives, KZN being one, Gauteng being one. We want to see in their allocations how then they will be prioritizing some of the block projects as a result of the budget allocation that we have. We can't be specific at this point in time in terms of what will happen with the hostels and the block projects, but in the business plans, it will be clear which block projects in which province and how much is earmarked and how are they going to do that in different phases. We can't be very specific at this point in time. If you may bear with us, we'll appreciate that. Neville will deal with the professionalization of the enterprise architect, as Mam Jobe has suggested that. The issue of bursaries, my honorable chief director in charge of human resources will deal with that to make sure that we don't invest and lose our money. There is a policy in place that we use for that particular thing. Chair, the issue of SIU, please allow us, as we normally do, to do a presentation on the progress, as has been requested. We normally do presentation on what progress we have made. There is progress. There have been some challenges because of the change of leadership within the department from the SIU side, but work has been done, and we can provide a high-level update report in terms of what has been done to date. We'll deal with the RIP issue in terms of how the budget has been structured for the next financial year for the project. There has been an institutional capacity challenge in the delivery of sanitation program. It has had a negative impact on the delivery of our targets. We are conceptualizing a new strategy of implementing sanitation under the RIP, and we will be presenting that again to the portfolio committee. It's an outstanding matter for this committee to come back and reconceptualize our implementation strategy for sanitation. The lack of institutional capacity has had a negative impact on the program. As a department, we're putting a new strategy in dealing with that in a much more effective way. Mr. Wallace, the leader of service delivery, is working on that. He has also briefed me yesterday about how far we have gone in reconceptualizing our model of implementing our sanitation program. But we do accept, as a matter of fact, that we have had institutional capacity challenges in the delivery of this. We hope to improve in the next financial year with the new model that we are putting in place. Chair, I will leave some of...
Sorry, DG, not hope. You are going to improve in the next
year. Dave, thanks very much. It's a matter of English speaking. Indeed, we are going to put that in our next presentation. It's an outstanding metaphor for this. We'll be sharing our new strategy, and you'll also have an opportunity to comment on our strategy for implementation. Chair, I will leave it at that, and I will ask our colleagues to also comment. Also, the issue of vacancies, I will ask my CD to deal with that particular part as well. CFO or COO?
Thank you. Thank you, Didi. Chair, just one issue, I mean, if you need to, on the issue of disaster and rectification, we mustn't confuse them. I think the disaster is an immediate and it responds to that. So I think as the CFO has indicated, part of the money is in the Human Settlements Development Grant includes the disaster management response. I think the issue is that I think the concern is that we have not had a national human settlements development or a human settlements disaster management plan. And we can assure you that by the end of May, we will have a consolidated human settlements disaster management plan from the provinces, coordinated with it. That has always been. So the point about what Member Shlagude is indicating is we have not effectively monitored that. It's at the provincial level, it's been an issue that, you know, is it cooperative governance? Is it human settlements? You'll know as members, there's all this to in and fro in at a provincial level. What has been done now is that if you read the Disaster Management Act, it says each national department's supposed to. So we've taken that and we said, guys, give us your plans. The DG sent off two letters and asking them for that. We're busy consolidating that disaster management plan that speaks to the human settlements response. So we'll be able to present that disaster management. It's something that's never happened. And I think it's just important that, you know, although there are overlaps, I think disaster is a human is a response to a natural so that's the on the issue of the USDG challenge and how do we address the issues. It overlaps with the accreditation. If we grant accreditation depending on what the level is, or irrespective of the level, if a municipality doesn't perform, we have the authority, the minister has the authority through the MEC to withdraw that. But I think the point which we need to understand is that we're trying to build a developmental government. So it's not about national being able to do everything. It's about us sharing that responsibility in terms of that. And I think what we want to be able to say is that where the capacity does exist and where it's verified and it's clear, then obviously we'll share that. But it doesn't really imply that we absolve ourselves of the responsibility. Coupled with that is the whole issue around technical capacity and professionalization. I think what we need to concede and understand is that, you know, we're a country that's going through a process of development, and we need to build the capacity. And that responsibility remains, by and large, a nationally driven process, because if you look at higher education, through the CETAs, all those kind of things. And I think the one issue that we've said, and that's why we've got it in our program, we have not tapped into that. We complain about poor workmanship, poor quality, and the inability to manage and regularize the sector. but we don't have a professional body that regulates people's conduct. You know, we rely on indemnities of professionals, we rely on indemnity of planners, rely on indemnities of attorneys. But the point about it is, if you want to be able to practice in this sector, what recourse do we have as the Human Settlements Department, and who do we have? So the point about that technical capacity is, what is our relationship with public works? There are those programs, but we've not done that. And it's a capacity building in this country is a huge amount. If you listen to Minister Mzimande, he said it's 37 billion rand that sits with the CETAs. Have we tapped into that? We haven't. We know there's capacity constraints, but I think that's what that technical capacity unit is going to want to do in many respects. In relation to the NHBRC, we cannot absolve our responsibility as government by outsourcing what is our key responsibilities. The NHBRC is regulatory, it's supposed to do its work. If we flood it with training and all those other things, it gets diverted, and we end up with the kind of situation that we do. So that's what the technical capacity wants to achieve. It's about taking our rightful place and doing the things that we should be doing, so no one else complains about we don't have capacity. So when that comes up here, the Ralph issue, Chair, we've capitalized Ralph, but you'll remember that we've received a substantial amount of criticism around the question of the voucher scheme. And part of that 51 is that, but it's also in relation to the issue of the consolidation. Remember, we are consolidating our DFIs. You know, we're consolidating, and we said that at an appropriate time, probably towards the end of May, we can come back to you and give you a briefing on that. So it's about that. Ralph's not going to disappear. The programs of Ralph are not going to disappear. It's about us wanting to achieve in 13, 14 the consolidation of that. So it's not about the money. I'm sure if we come back to you in next year, there'll probably be amounts that we would want to look at in relation to that. Thanks, Chair DG.
Chair, thank you very much. Let me begin by saying the detailed business plan that we shall be presenting to the members will actually outline all the fine points and the small print that the members are looking for. And I think at that time, through my Director General, we will be able to indicate some of the projects, because we do receive project lists from provinces and where the projects are. But then coupling that with, I think I must actually explain that the USDG, and I'm Chair, if you allow me, I'm trying to be slow because I'll be using the accounting terminologies in terms of the USDG. You know, accounting is a foreign language thing. But I want to indicate that when the USDG was introduced, it was introduced based on the fact that there was no money at all. So Treasury had to look at the revenue of that particular metro. It had to look at the money that the MIG is funded with, from the COCTA, of course, and then they had to come back to us to scale down the Human Settlement Development Grant, which I think will also respond to the fact that our budget was high at some point and it dropped down. That's now the HSDG. Now, the method that was used was to consolidate those three variables and weight them. Hence, I'm saying the average weighted method was utilized between those three variables to come up with the sum of the 6.2 billion in the financial year, which is previous. Moving forward, it has been increased using the same variables. However, in terms of us allocating, it was also based on the dynamics of the metros within the specific area. Hence, we see those. Currently, we still have 8. But in terms of transfers, we used a simple cash flow method of dividing the money into 3 to transfer it to the metros. But now when we get to the allocation of the human settlement, hence the Northern Cape receiving the lower allocation,
I think, Chair, it's very much practical for us to indicate that the allocation formula that has been approved in the past by the housing sector, it also has some variables that it looked at, and particularly of significance is the population of that particular province, as well as the issue of the sheikhs around it at the point. And if the CEO would want to add on top, but of significance is the population as well as the sheikhs within that particular. And if you look at Northern Cape on its own, while they may have number of projects and the fact that they are working, we are also looking at the fact of how we can change the allocation formula moving around, just so that we accommodate particularly those areas that have projects that need prior attention from our side, and the fact that they are not funded and they cannot be funded because of the current allocation formula that we are using as a model. Then we'll take care of the discussions that we are having as a national department with our provincial sector. So I must also indicate that I think I admit my flaw on this one. It was an oversight for us not to indicate the rural housing infrastructure grant in the slides of those transfers, but it is embedded within our program 3, which is within that program and project management unit. And just to be specific to the house, I must indicate that the rural, it's an indirect grant because it differs in terms of section, in terms of Division of Revenue Act. In this financial year, Chair, we have a 479,500,000 for that RIP, and then in the following year, we have 389,000,000. But as we shall present the bigger picture, we will admit, but it was just an oversight from our side on that one. Chair, we have said that is an allocation formula, DG. Okay, I think the business plan, as we shall indicate, it will still talk to the issues of the blocking of those unblocked projects in the story. And I think specifically, and I know that you're looking at it while we're... Pardon? the hostel. That will also actually form part of the bigger picture of the business plan. But I think the details, if the committee bears with us, we are very much committed to come back to the committee and give even a specific item to say this is what the business plan is going to fund, and we will report it back to the province, to the committee, as we shall have committed ourselves in the business plan. Thank you, Yvonne.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I will attempt to answer the two questions on evictions and bursaries. Obviously, integrating the first question around who is attached there in one of the programs which have been raised. So the COO did allude to the fact that we had initially 4 programs. Now we have 5 programs. Now we have 6 programs because of the PMU has been added. But currently, in terms of that, we have 4 DDGs. Therefore, the 2 programs remain vacant. And coming to the issue of the vacancy rate, we are committed to ensure that by the end of the first quarter, the vacancies are filled up to 94 capacity rate. This is the norm which is set in the public service. I'm raising this because of we will be in the process before the end of the financial year of advertising. Therefore, certain processes depend on the delegation of authority. For example, for a DDG position, you have to go to cabinet. Once you've done what you're supposed to do as a department, you have to relinquish your output to the Department of Public Service and Administration, because of it is them who goes to cabinet on your behalf. Therefore, it's outside your control. But we will have to ensure that within the first quarter, we try and fill the vacancy rate. But in the meantime, making interim arrangements, acting, you know, people should take responsibility for acting positions, because of you cannot have a function, a strategic function, which is stranded and there's no one to account to that particular. Otherwise, the DG will have to account to all the
the functions which are vacant. So those transition interim arrangements will be made, and we will say between the first quarter, because of those, like for instance, chief director position, it is a delegation of the minister. Because of he is internal, you are able to fill it within a short space of time. Those below that at a micro level, which is a delegation of the DG, you are able to do that. But those which requires cabinet approval have certain things even for which you're supposed to subscribe to, for example, the NIA report, whatever, the SAQA report in terms of qualification checks, all those criminal records things. So you are relying on other institutions of government before cabinet can sit and make a decision on that. But I'm saying within the first quarter, we won't be too ambitious if we set ourselves a target of at the end of the first quarter. But if we are able to achieve that prior to the end of the quarter, it will be a bonus. But coming to the issue around bursaries, the question around bursaries, we've got two systems in the department in terms of bursaries. Within, if you look at the structure, within the human resource management unit, we have a human resource development unit, which is internally focusing on bursaries and skills development for people, employees of the department, that's the national department. But this one of bursaries, which the CFO have alluded to in terms of transfer, is part and parcel of the technical capacity development, which addresses the capacity even at municipality level. The awarding of bursaries there is done in conjunction with the provinces, who have to ensure that all those learners, upon completion of their study, they serve a bursary obligation at the province or whether at the municipality level. That is not attending or addressing, you know, generic skills like administration. It's looking at your technical capacity, like your planners and your engineers. That is why it's called technical capacity, all the skills needed within the built environment. So in terms of whether we follow that up, yes, we do follow it up, because of for each and every bursary which we issue in a public service, the standard practice is that there must be a contract. Somebody needs to come and serve back. So it is the obligation of provinces and municipalities to ensure that they create positions so that people come and be employed to serve back their contractual obligation. And the question around what do we do when a person fails. In an internal bursary scheme, it's easy because of the person is within your employment. You are able to deduct from their salary upon arrangement. But the one which is external in technical capacity building, that's where you need to work smarter, looking at, you know, the dynamics within the higher institutions of learning. What is usually happening is that the students who are already in the systems, like doing third year, second year, their chances of them dropping out is less if you fund them rather than funding most of the money channeling it to first year students. Also, it addresses the capacity problem in a sense that if you give your bursaries to all first year students, you're still going to wait for 4 years for them to graduate. If you fund somebody who's in third year, you will wait for 1 year, the person will come and serve back. So there is a formula which is being used in terms of the number of those who are coming from first year new entrants and those who are already in the system. Because of those who are already first year, some of them are from poor families. That is why we're giving them bursaries. The chances of them having to pay without a job, it's unrealistic. Therefore, we minimize the risk by allocating them according to the percentage to ensure that they come back and serve the contractual obligation at the municipality or at the provincial level. I think that's covered.
Thank you. Chair, I forgot the one issue around the question of the professionalizing the enterprise architecture. I mean, Chair, the one thing that we've indicated is one of the cornerstones of a department working efficiently and effectively is to have an efficient operations structure, architecture, for want of a better word. What we have in the department is we don't have that operational architecture. And what what the enterprise architecture does is that it puts in place and embeds a operations framework that allows one of your DDGs, your senior branch heads, to be able to manage that. So you allow your director general to be able to focus on the strategic and the policy related issues. So professionalizing it, it's I think what we're doing within the public service is putting together the systems, the processes, and the plans within the organizations, that's the internal organization in relation to that. And that has never received attention. So, you know, it's about the responsiveness that politically and administratively you've also asked us. Why does it take to respond? If a query gets lodged with the DG, how does it get processed within the system? That's about the professionalization of that architecture. How does it find itself resolved, and how does it find itself responded to? And that's what that covers. Thank you.
Yeah, Madam Chair, just without getting into too much detail in response to the question raised about USDG and our cursory observations or challenges, just a few quick observations. The first is just to remember or remind ourselves that USDG, and shall we call them teething problems, given the fact that it's been with this department for the first time and it's our first year in implementation. So need to bear in mind that just while it is a new grant for us to manage, it does in fact have a history, i.e. the Mig Cities grant. Now, with those grants or those allocations, multi-year commitments have been made by the metropolitan municipalities. So for this first year, there has been a concession. We've conceded that many of those commitments that had been made by the metros under the Mixed Cities program needs to run its course. So come end of their financial year, or when annual reports need to be presented, it would be no surprise or coincidence that there are projects that do not necessarily gel with human settlements priorities. And it would not be a coincidence because those metros needed to make those commitments to run those projects, to have those projects run its course. So that's the first one. Important to say, though, that if one looks at the grant framework for the USDG for the coming financial year, you will find that the conditionalities that have been set are far more stringent than for the year in progress, because we know, and we've said this to the metros, that for the coming financial year, you are part of the human settlements team, you have a human settlements grant, and by implication, your plans need to respond to the priorities of Team Human Settlements. A second observation, and again, given that we have a new set of players who are now directly responding to human settlements and the priorities of the national department, is the alignment of the USDG with the Human Settlements Development Grant, i.e. the grant which is given to the metros and the grant which is given to the province, and then in turn transferred either directly or used within the municipal area of those metros. It's something which we have observed there is not always a neat match, but again, because Mixed Cities by and large has been run independently of HSDG, we are actually in the throes of convening a working session where we're going to be dealing with this issue very directly. So we'll be asking the provinces and the metros of demonstrable evidence or at best plans
which show the matching of HSDG with USDG. Remembering, of course, that USDG has always been seen as a grant which augments the primary fund, i.e. the HSDG. Finally, the issue of, and I think it would be remiss of us not to indicate issues of capacity to deliver and spend. And therein, there is regular reporting that is expected and required, and a regular interaction with the metros. Intervention has been varied across the metros, ranging from direct intervention at a national government level, by way of example, a Treasury City Support Program, and then also direct intervention on the part of provincial departments who have either seconded or have moved people into those metros to assist with the two issues raised previously. We've already talked previously about implementation protocols which are to be entered and in some instances have already been entered into between the provincial departments and the relevant metropolitan municipalities. So those just off the cuff are some of the issues which are on the radar of the national department and which has our attention. Second very quick point, and this is further to the points already made by the DG and the COO in respect of the NHBRC, and we're certainly not wanting to justify their continued existence, but it needs to be remembered that the NHBRC has more than just an obligation to the Department of Human Settlements. It has a regulatory or statutory function in terms of the construction sector. So put differently, if you and I were to build a house today, the contractor who is going to build that house, in fact, needs to be registered with the NHBRC. So the NHBRC needs to do inspections not only to the provinces and to the metros, but each and every house that is built across the country. So I think that's just a useful point that needs to be remembered about the NHBRC. Chair, that's it. The DG has created a huge expectation about business plans. We look forward and we're quietly confident that we won't be sent home, as is your custom. So we look forward to seeing you.
Stop listening us. Honourable members, if I ask us, please, among your members as well.
I'm worried that now the NHBRC is going to a presentation to the minister. When the spokesperson was commenting about the NHBRC, I thought maybe that comment and teaching we have listened carefully. The comment from the spokesperson. Because if you want to check now, if you want to go down and check whether the NHB is there, besides the document, when you go down and check whether the NHB is there, maybe you won't find the NBG, NBRC. The check for instance, the inspections, they have outsourced to their own companies. Not necessarily to somebody else, to their own company. They have sourced them so that you get the papers. But when you find that they have outsourced the that comment from the spokesperson that now we are going to deal with the NHBRC other way around without the set plan. And I do appreciate your support. If maybe you are going to kick into other paper and check whether NHBRC is there, firstly, so that when you are supreme, you could want to speak to the last one, and comment. Now that we are having a disaster management, and also COCTA has got also disaster management. There are houses which were supposed to be built in 1998. I'll quote them, the district and municipality, if you say, Arpenzo, 1998. People said, no, the government is not there for them. 1998. Chris Arnie, municipality, Arpenzo, I can even take you to the village. Now we are in crisis as a government. Of course, we can't deliver. 1998. People are on checks. You go down to Kitan, in Sikaya sees them, and stop him back. That's why I said, if maybe you can try and have a meeting with them in the Department of Oxa, maybe you quickly sort out the disaster. Please, thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I didn't think that I would let you off the hook completely. I want to just follow up on the HR thing. We were promised, we were told that we would have these vacancies filled by the end of this financial year. Now, I want to know, and you're going to say to me, yes, but now you have to get into the new year and so on and start the new thing. If you knew that these positions were going to be required, and you did know because you've been working on this for a long time, why was that process not started so that we start in April with a clean sheet and we all hit the ground running?
Because I promise.
Okay, Chair, I will answer that one. As in the previous meetings when we came here to present, that was our plans, but as I've indicated, that our plans, there are things which are beyond our control. The concurrence, we only received the concurrence on the day before Christmas. Once you receive the concurrence from the DPSA, as I've alluded to, DPSA does not approve, then your minister needs to approve. And also after approving, there are other processes which has to do with migration of certain, you know, matching and placing of certain staff prior to you advertising the vacancies, because of those are the things which we needed to do. But according to our plan, we were supposed to have wrapped up this thing, as we've alluded to previous, even appeal to Chairperson, that Chairperson, if you can you please intervene, use your influence with the Chairperson of the Public Service and Administration. Unfortunately, those are things which were beyond our control, but as we've said, we are saying we will try rigorously to ensure that the positions are filled, because we are mindful of the fact that we're sitting with a 19% vacancy rate in the midst of a high unemployment rate in South Africa, which doesn't make sense. But this is the situation which we find ourselves in. It's beyond our control. As I've indicated, that even with DDG position, we can put the adverts and whatever, it goes to DPSA to take it to cabinet. But we will try and ensure that the latest should... Yes. Pardon? Pardon?
Try and make sure that there is no vacuum in terms of placing people to act. At least
Yes. And Chair, lastly, on the issue around the regulatory compliance services, because of I could see here on the structure is being maybe missed with the NHBRC issue. In terms of there are certain functions where we find that it is a statutory obligation. In terms of the AG and prescripts, each and every organization is supposed to have what they call a compliance officer, looking at legislation, compliance, and so forth, both internally and externally. For example, to check whether the department complies with Occupational and Health and Safety Act, because of the department stands to be litigated, because of if you are dealing with litigation, you are being reactive rather than being proactive to ensure those. That is a function of this. Legislative compliance monitoring to look at the entire compliance, both internally and externally.
I think this has been a very, very good presentation.
just to comment on a few issues. In your care risk and challenges, that we have got a very important risk the strategy coordination with provinces. I think it does not only refer to provinces alone. It also expands to the rate to the level of the other departments. I think the issue of socio-economic amenities, whilst the sports and recreation rep is amongst with us, I think this is very crucial, because when we are implementing the project, human settlements project, it means they must also be there with us. So it's good that we have put this in paper, but when we are calling them to come to party, it means they have to respond. That is the message. Yes, to all of them, not necessarily the sports, to all of them. As Honorable Machoba was raising the issue of disaster management. You know, the Nazaning Energy Supreme, because I think if you can, when you are having those, what do you call those meetings, where you sit with COCTA. Yes. I think it will be very much important that you encourage them, would they must take a tune from the Department of Human Settlements, because the ratification, this is an unintended consequence. So if they can also put their feet down to say they are going to make sure that from their financial allocation, they must make sure that they ring fence a certain, because it's useless to just go forward. It does not help. So I think if you can encourage, they must also follow your footprint on that. They must ring fence a certain percentage, so that those houses that are supposed to be attended to as from 1998, they must be attended. Then you are going to assist them from what is starting during the last financial year. I believe that the grant is very stipulative, but they must try their best. Then the issue of LISP, I think we need to, maybe you need to have a policy, né? Yeah, I think so. So if you can try and make sure that at least that policy is presented before us, so that we can be of assistance in popularizing that policy. Yes, I've also spoken about the rectification. I'm very much happy about this one. It was a struggle. You remember last year, did you? So if we have managed to convince the provinces that there should be a certain percentage that is ring-fenced, it's a very good progress. And then the USDG tighten up the system. I'm very much fascinated about that one, because really it means we will be knowing where we are going to now. Then I think this presentation is sort of taking us into confidence that the department, from the struggle that we had, yeah, it was not a bad struggle. It was a very good struggle, and it means today we are reaping our fruits of our concerted as a team, not uba omnye welaqala, as a team, a concerted effort that we have put onto this to ensure that today we are receiving at least a convincing a strategy. And we do believe that when you come before us with department, yes, we will have to accept that there will be milestones here and there, but we believe that together, what is the slogan? Spokesperson. What is your new slogan? No, you've been ignoring me.
He's ignoring me, but yeah, with that slogan, together as a team, together as a team of human settlements, because we always emphasize that for human settlements, there's no us and them. We are all in one in this battle, but at the same time, sometimes we need to take off the gloves so that things could happen. It means that at least there's something that we are reaping today, and it is a very, very good DG. We really recommend the effort with your team. You have got a very, very good team. We wish that at least Banga, Daske, Makin, Nunova, Begim, Banga Spook, with those viewers, we really, really appreciate DG. We'll meet next time. As you know, that whenever we need your service, you are always there for us. Thank you very much. I think I can release the department and left with the members to finalize this document, just to look at this document. I don't think it's going to take much time. So 5 minutes comfort break, by the time they are still trying to organize themselves, department.